good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I hope that you're having a good Sunday here today. And if you're visiting with us here today, we are so glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. If you miss any of the messages in this series or any series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com and you can watch those messages. Also like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. Well, we are in the third week of this series. We have one more week to go next week, and we'll wrap up this series, Elisha, My God is Salvation. And then we will be preparing messages for Easter. And so I'm looking forward to that, as that's right around the corner, and we'll be here before we know it. Also, next Sunday, we'll have our Next Steps class where we talk about salvation, how to share the plan of salvation with your friends or your family, baptism, what does the Bible have to say about baptism, who should be baptized, when should you be baptized. We'll talk about small groups, why it's important to be in a group with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Solomon says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We talk about serving here at the church, opportunities for you to serve and use the gifts that God has blessed you with. And then also introduction into our membership class, which is the following week. And so that's next Sunday, right outside these doors in this fellowship hall. It's about an hour right after service. We have a free lunch for you. And you will learn a lot, and I think you'll have a good time in that class. So whether you've been coming 2 weeks, 6 weeks, a couple months, or a year or two, you're like, Ed, I've been coming here, and I haven't really been involved, and I know I need to make my next step in my walk and relationship with the Lord. I feel that is what God wants me to do and be more committed. This class is for you. And so that's next week. Well, as I mentioned, we're in the third week of this series, Elisha, My God is Salvation. And in this series, we've been in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, if you've never read 1 or 2 Kings, I want to encourage you to read those books because they are great books and you will enjoy seeing God and how He works and moves in the nation of Israel. Well, who is Elisha? Just as a way of review, we said Elijah was a prosperous farmer, a well-to-do farmer. What does his name mean? Well, his name literally means, my God is salvation. And what did he come to deliver the people from? Baal worship. Baal was this false fertility god of the rain and of the sun and of the earth. The people in that day and age believe if they prayed to Baal, he would bless their family and their crops, that they'd have better crops, a bigger family. And so they worshiped Baal instead of the Lord. And so who is it that worshiped Baal? Not only the people, but sadly the king of the nation, the king of Israel. And at that time, the king was Joram. And so because the people and the king worshipped this false god Baal, they suffered. They suffered as a nation because they didn't put the Lord first. And perhaps today you're suffering. Maybe you're here today and in some way, form, or fashion, you're suffering. It could be from loneliness and depression. Sometimes this kind of transition as we go from between seasons and things kind of dragging on, we can kind of fall into a state maybe of depression or of loneliness or maybe anxiety, but do you have that right now in your life? It could be from the loss of a loved one. Maybe you lost a friend that you were close to. Maybe they moved away or maybe they passed away. And so that has been affecting you deeply in your heart. Could be from an accident that happened, maybe that you're suffering from. It could be from a life-debilitating disease, cancer. whatever it is that you're dealing with right now in your life, you know in your heart that you're not well. We saw in this opening video here this young lady who in her heart there was a time and a season where she wasn't well. Essentially, she was sick. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I can relate to that girl in that video in some way, form, or fashion. I know in my heart that I'm not well. I know that I'm sick. And what is it you need this morning? You need someone who can heal you, someone who can make you better. And there's only one who can heal you, and his name is Jesus. Let me say that again. There is only one who can heal you and make you whole again, and his name is Jesus. Now, the people in Elisha's day didn't believe in the Lord. They didn't believe in the Lord. They believed in Baal. And nevertheless, there was a young girl who did believe in the Lord. And what's her story? Well, she was taken captive by her enemies. The nation of Israel had a few enemies at that time, and one of them was the Armenians, and they raided the nation of Israel, and they took this young girl captive, and we don't know this young girl's name, but we do know that while she was in captivity, she talked about the Lord. She shared her faith with her enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's not always an easy thing to do. It's something I think we all struggle with. But here she is in captivity, and she's sharing her faith with her enemies. And that's how this story gets started and unfolds here in 2 Kings. Let's look here in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, as we jump right in. The king of Aram had a great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him, the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. So that's the thing that he suffered from, leprosy. At this time, Armenian raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was who? A young girl. A young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. He would heal him of his leprosy. Here's a question for you. Why has the Lord placed you where you're at? Let me say that again. Why has the Lord placed you where you're at today? It's so you can tell your classmates, your friends, the principals at your school, your co-workers, and bosses about the Lord. Right? Why has the Lord placed you where you're at today? It's so you can tell the people around you about Jesus. That's why he's placed you where you're at today. It's not an accident that you are where you are. You may think, how did I get in this position that I'm in today? Why am I suffering? Why am I hurting? Why am I here? God has placed you specifically for where you're at for a reason and a purpose. And it's not an accident you are where you are. David said, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knew exactly where you would be this morning. He knew you would be here. There are people around you who are suffering and hurting, and quite frankly, they're sick. And some of them don't even know it. And what can you and me do? The same thing this young girl did. Tell them and point them to the great physician. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the healer. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get so focused on myself and my issues and so absorbed that I lose focus of what really matters and what God has called me to do. Look beyond myself. Look to Him and look to others and to help them in their suffering and their hurting. God wants to use you where you're at and use the things that you're struggling with to be a blessing and an encouragement to others. Well, what did Naaman do when he heard what this young girl said? Well, he got excited, right? He got excited when he heard what this young girl had to say. So he told the king of Aram what she had to say. What did the king do of Aram? He said, well, you know what, Naaman? You need to go and see that king of Israel. I'll write you a letter introducing yourself to him. And so I'm going to send you to see the king of Israel. The king of Israel was supposed to represent God. But as we said earlier, the king of Israel, he's not worshiping the Lord. He's worshiping Baal. Let's continue on in our story here, verses 4 through 6. Now, so Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying as gift 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. Well, that's quite a request. How did the king of Israel react when he received this letter? How did he react? He actually tore his clothes in dismay. Why would he do this? Because he didn't believe in God, at least not to the extent that he worshiped him. So he thought, the king of Aram, that is, he thought, here it is, the king of Israel would represent God, would heal his servants, and the king of Israel thought, you know what, I'm not even sure I believe in God, and so with you sending me this letter to heal your servant, he was offended by it. He thought the king of Aram was trying to pick a fight with him, so to speak. You bringing me your servant? You want me to heal him? Who do you think I am? I'm not God. But he was supposed to represent God as the king of Israel. Let's read on here in our story, verse 7. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can give life and take it away? Only God can do that. Why is this man asking me to heal someone of leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. He's just trying to get me aggravated, stir things up with me, so to speak. You know, the king of Israel shouldn't have been offended. Why? Because there was and is a God in Israel. And even though the king of Israel, Joram at the time, didn't represent him, didn't worship him, didn't believe in him, Elisha did. And so what did Elisha say when he heard what the king of Israel said? When he tore his clothes in dismay and he heard what happened. What did Elisha, the man of God, say? He said, send Naaman to me. Send him to me. I want him to know that there is a God. My God is salvation. My God can save. Baal can't save you, but my God can, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You bring him, send him to me. And so that's what happened. Verse 8. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Maybe you're here this morning and there's some things that you're just upset about. And the Lord is asking you, why are you so upset today? Why are you so worried about this thing that's happening to you in your life right now? I'm the God who made the world Lord of heaven and earth. Nothing is too big for me. Why are you upset about this? I was watching the NCAA tournament, and one of the upsets the other day, the coach after the game, the announcer asked the coach, were you worried about what was happening in this game? Did you feel like your team was going to lose? And he said, no, it's just basketball. It's just basketball. I wasn't worried at all about it. I am worried about Duke today, I got to tell you. Be in prayer for Michigan State today. I'm very worried. Why are you so upset? Why are you so upset today? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a prophet here in Israel. Excuse me. He will learn that there's a true prophet here in Israel, that my God is salvation, that he can save you. What happened when Naaman arrived, when he went to meet Elijah? He expected Elijah to meet him, to come out and meet him. That's what he expected. We all have expectations in life of what we think God should do. And so here God is working through this prophet Elijah, and Naaman arrives on the scene and in essence says, here I am. And he's expecting Elijah to come out and meet him. However, he doesn't. Why? Because Naaman isn't his superior. Who's Elijah's superior? God. Elijah answers to God. Just like you and me, we have no one else that we answer to but Jesus. He's the one we answer to. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It only matters what he thinks. Verses 9 and 10. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elijah's house. But Elijah sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. So he doesn't come out of the house. He sends a messenger out to talk to him. Naaman's offended by this. All right, go wash in the river down there, the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. Well, how does Naaman feel about this? He became angry. And he pouted and he stalked away, the Bible says. Continuing on in verses 11, 12. But Naaman became what? Angry, and he stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. This is what I expected him to do. He said, I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord as God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and the Abana and the Fahar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Right? I could have done this in my own land. Here I travel to this place. The guy doesn't come out to meet me. He tells me to go wash in the Jordan River. That's not even a great river. Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned away, turned and went away in a rage. How do you act when someone doesn't do what you expect or want them to do? Let me say that again. How do you act when someone doesn't do what you expect or you want them to do? Your spouse, or your boss, or your coworker. They're not acting the way you expect or want them to act. I don't know about you, but sometimes I act the same way Naaman did. I get angry. They're not doing what I want them to do. I then express my anger, take out my frustration on them, and I turn away in a rage. You know who does that? Our 4-year-old, Eden. That's what she does now all the time. Right? She expects us to be at her beck and call and drop everything, and she has this routine where she will just stomp her foot and put her hands down and then give us this kind of growl and the snarl. And I just look at her and I say, you don't do that with Daddy. Right? And then I grab her and, anyways. I won't tell you everything I do, but we go to the bedroom and it's a little discipline time. Right? We're trying to break her of this habit. But that's how our four-year-old acts. And if I'm being really honest, that's a lot of times how I act. I get angry, right? You're not doing what I want you or expect you to do. And I act this way sometimes with God. God, I know you can heal me, and I don't know why you're not, and so I'm angry with you. I don't know why you allowed this to happen in my life. You could have prevented this from happening. Why didn't you? I don't understand. And so we take out our anger on those around us, often on those closest to us, and sometimes even on the Lord. Well, where does this anger come from? Pride. I think it comes from pride. We like to think that we know what's best. We like to think that we're God. And what does this really demonstrate when we act this way? Well, it demonstrates a lack of trust in the Lord. We're not really trusting Him, believing that He knows what's best and has what's best for us in our life. We want to be in control when we know things in our life are just really out of control. Well, what did Naaman's officers do when they saw that Naaman turned away in a rage? His officers had more sense than he did. They tried to reason with him. Come back here, Naaman, his officer said, right? Come back here. Here's what they said to him, verse 13. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, very hard, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says, 'Go and wash and be cured.'" Right? Did Naaman swallow his pride because he had been offended? I don't know about you, but a lot of times I act like I'm offended over the silliest things. My wife, Monica, will say, "Get over yourself." Right? He swallowed his pride, and he did what Elijah told him to do. Verse 14. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself, how many times? 7 times. As the man of God had instructed him, he did what God told him to do. If we would just do what God is telling us to do, we would be healed, right? And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. What do you feel the Lord is telling you to do today? What do you feel in your situation, in your circumstance, right now in your life? What do you feel the Lord is telling you to do? Not anybody else, not your mom, not your dad, not your friend. What do you feel in your heart God is telling you to do? He's not asking you to do it, but you know He's telling you to do it. Is it to break up with that person that you've been dating that you know isn't the best for you? And you know in your heart God is pressing that upon you, but you're trying to shut it down and ignore it and block it out? Is it to quit your job? God's calling you to step out in faith and trust that He will provide you with a new one. And you feel it in your heart, but you keep pushing it out. Maybe it's to tell someone you're sorry. But you've begun to well up in pride, and you're like, "I don't want to tell them I'm sorry." But that's exactly what you need to do. You need to make the first step. Step out. Be the man, right? Tell them you're sorry and ask them to forgive you. What will happen when you do what you feel the Lord is telling you to do? What will happen when you do what you feel in your heart that the Lord is telling you to do? You know it's the right thing. You know what will happen? You'll experience healing in your life. What did Naaman do after he experienced this healing? What did he do? Well, he went back to find the man of God. Why? Because because he wanted to give Elijah a gift. Remember, he had brought all that stuff with him, the gold and the silver and the clothing. He wanted to give Elijah a gift. Did Elijah accept the gift? No. Why not? Because Elijah wanted to make it clear that this had nothing to do with him, that this healing was from the Lord. Continuing on, verses 15 and 16. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Your God is salvation. He's the only God. So please accept a gift from your servant." But Elijah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not accept any gift." I want you to know, I had nothing to do with this healing. This is from the Lord. It's not me. It's all him. And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elijah refused. Well, what did Naaman do next? Naaman's like, okay, well, I need to worship this God of yours because he's God. So he took some of the earth, some of the dirt from that place with him. Why? So he could take it back home to his land and use it to build an altar to the Lord. He's like, you know what? I'm going to worship your God because he's God. Verse 17. Then Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load two of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other God except the Lord." Huh. What happened? What did this demonstrate? That Naaman believed in the Lord. This young girl's taken captive. She tells her captives about the Lord, which is what you and me should be doing where God has placed us. Right? Telling people about Jesus because they're hurting, suffering, and sick. And Naaman comes to believe in the Lord. However, not to the extent that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. You may remember their story in Daniel chapter 3. They were willing to die for the Lord. Naaman, on the other hand, he asked to be pardoned when he bows before his master's God. Let's continue on here, verse 18. He says this, "However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When I go back home, and when my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god Ramon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too." Did Elijah grant his request? Well, obviously he didn't approve of it as a prophet of the Lord. Nevertheless, he wished Naaman safe travels. Go on. "Go in peace," Elijah said. So Naaman started home again. Is this the end of the story? No. A little bit more. What about Elijah's servant, Gehazi? How did he feel about everything that had happened? Elijah's servant, Gehazi, is watching all this. Is taking it all in. And he doesn't like it. Why doesn't he like what's going on? Because he thought they should have gotten something for their service. They should have gotten some of that gold, some of the silver, some of the gifts that he offered, some of the clothing. And so here's what Elijah's servant Gehazi does. Verses 20 through 24. "But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said to himself, 'My master should not have let this Armenian get away without accepting any of his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him.'" I'm going to get something from him. What am I going to get out of this? It's often how I live my life. What's in it for me? That's how we live our lives as Americans, right? What's in it for me? I should get something from this or out of this. So Gehazi set off after Naaman. When Naaman saw Gehazi running after him, he climbed from his chariot and went to meet him. "Is everything all right?" Naaman asked. "Yes," Gehazi said. But my master has sent me to tell you that two young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived. Well, that's a lie. He would like 75 pounds of silver and two sets of clothing to give to them. By all means, take twice as much silver, Naaman insisted. He gave him two sets of clothing, tied up the money in two bags, and sent two of his servants to carry the gifts for Gehazi. But when they arrived at the citadel, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent the men back. Then he went and hid the gifts inside his house. What's going on here? Gehazi proved to be self-serving. He proved to be self-serving. What's in it for me in this relationship, in this thing? And as a result, because of this, his only reward, you know what his reward would be? The irony. Leprosy. Leprosy would be his reward. Finishing up here, last verses, 25 through 27. When he went in to his master, Elijah asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" I think the Lord asked us that sometime. Where have you been? Where have you been today? What is it you're doing? What is it you're running after today? What is it you think you need that you need to chase it down? "I haven't been anywhere," he replied. But Elijah asked him, "Don't you realize that I was there with you in spirit? Don't you realize the Lord says that I'm with you wherever you go? I'm aware of what's going on in your life. I haven't forgotten about you and your situation. Don't you realize that I'm with you? I've promised to never leave you nor forsake you. You're suffering. You're hurting. I know. I'll take care of you. Don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? In this time, is this the time to receive money and clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and cattle, and male and female servants? Because you have done this, you and your descendants will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever." When Gehazi left the room, he was covered with leprosy. His skin was as white as snow. What is it I want you to notice here? Naaman. Naaman, this foreigner from the land of Aram, demonstrated trust and obedience in the Lord. That's what he demonstrated. He went to the river, dipped himself seven times, and did what the Lord told him to do. Gehazi, the servant of the Lord, didn't. He didn't demonstrate trust and obedience. Instead, he tried to serve two masters, which, to be quite honest, is what I often try to do. Do you remember what Jesus had to say about serving two masters? Well, you know the verses. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money, enslaved to the things of this world." Elijah's servant Gehazi wasn't serving him or the Lord. He was serving himself. Who are you serving today? Who are you serving today? Is it yourself? Or is it the Lord? Do you remember how this story got started? It got started with a young girl who was taken captive by their enemies. What happened while she was in captivity? She told her captives about Jesus. Why? Because she was serving the Lord. Don't lose sight of who you're serving. In the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your pain, it's all about Jesus. He hasn't forgotten about you and your situation, your loneliness, your depression, your loss. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And He will heal you. say, Ed, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. And I believe that is why I am hurting. And I need Him. We're going to give you the opportunity to pray and to ask Him to forgive you for your sins, to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but sometimes I am running and chasing after things that I believe that I need. And when I get them, they only end up hurting me. I thought I needed that thing or that person, but really what I need is you, Jesus. And forgive me for chasing down after those things. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Ed, I need Jesus. I realize that I am sick. And I need someone who can heal me and make me whole again. If that's you, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I feel like lately I've been enslaved to the things of this world. I've thought more about the things of this world than about you in the kingdom and the world you have prepared for me. And I know that's why I'm hurting you. It's because I've taken my eyes off of you. And I haven't demonstrated trust and obedience to you. I know what you're telling me to do, and I just haven't done it, Lord. Help me to do what's right and pleasing in your eyes. Give me the strength and the desire to be who you've called me to be, Lord Jesus. To do what you've called me to do. Because when I do what you want me to do, I believe I will experience healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.